Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. This is edition number 152 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, located in Evansville, Indiana. We are working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We've been dealing with matters related to the Lord's Supper using the instruction given to us in the larger catechism. Today we're going to continue looking at larger catechism number, question and answer number 175. Let's pray first and then we'll look into these very important subjects together. Let's pray. Father, as we now look at your word and we consider again matters related to the Lord's Supper, we pray that you would help us and instruct us, that we would find great benefit from the sacrament that you have given to us to strengthen and help us, to nourish us and encourage us in our walk with you. We pray for this time, that it would be useful for your people, that you'd forgive us for our sins, and that you would cause us to persevere in your goodness, your grace, and that you would help us in all things. Remember your promises to your people, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we have been looking at larger catechism question 175. We note the question is, what is the duty of Christians after they have received the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? The answer is, the duty of Christians after they have received the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is seriously to consider how they have behaved themselves therein, and with what success. If they find quickening and comfort, to bless God for it, beg the continuance of it, watch against relapses, fulfill their vows, and encourage themselves to a frequent attendance on that ordinance. But if they find no present benefit, more exactly to review their preparation to and carriage at the sacrament, in both which, if they can approve themselves to God in their own consciences, they are to wait for the fruit of it in due time. But if they see they have failed in either, they are to be humbled, to attend upon it afterwards with more care and diligence. Today we're going to consider more of what we've started back on, I believe it was April 7th. We began to look at this question and answer. We're going to begin with the matter related to fulfilling our vows, or fulfilling their vows. Now, in Psalm 50, we have the proof text that's used by the Assembly, the Westminster Assembly, in this point. In Psalm 50, in verse 14, there we read, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Now, the question, of course, comes, what are the vows that we offer when we participate? Remember now, we are reflecting on matters that occur after we take the Lord's Supper. And so we're reflecting back on that which we have stated at that meal. And one of the things that we have stated, of course, is that we are Christians. And what does that mean? Well, that means we've placed our hope and trust in Christ. And what should flow from that, then, therefore, is a life of obedience, a life of duty and honor to the God of heaven who has saved us. It flows out of, naturally, our salvation. It flows naturally out of that justifying work of the Holy Spirit, who now sanctifies us. And so certainly one of the vows that we take publicly when we participate in the sacrament is that we have promised to live in humble reliance upon the Savior and to walk in all of his ways. Now, of course, we're going to fall short of it, and that's why we need the sacrament to remind us of our need for the cross and our need for Christ. But the fact still remains that as Christians, we are to pursue godliness, holiness, righteousness all of our days. This is certainly one of the vows. The other vow, of course, is not only love to God and obedience to him, but love to neighbor. Certainly, we are doing it in the company of God's people, the fellowship of God's people. We do it publicly with God's people to express our love to them and they to us. And so we are to remember that, and we are to renew that endeavor in our own minds and hearts and lives, that we would show Christian love to one another. So these are just a couple, of course. I think they cover a very large, their umbrella subjects that cover many different things. But we do remember to fulfill our vows that we have made before the God of heaven. We are to encourage ourselves to continue at that meal. It says to encourage themselves to a frequent attendance on that ordinance. Now, that means that as often as your church celebrates the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that you make every effort to be in attendance. Now, this should go without saying, frankly. while it is certainly true that we are not Christians because we go to church, Christians do go to church. Christians worship. They desire to worship. And part of Christian worship is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And so we should encourage ourselves to see the importance of it and to be in attendance and to make every effort to be where we ought to be on the Lord's Day. In other words, we should prioritize our public worship of the God of heaven every single week as the thing to which we order our entire week so that we are not absent other than for providential reasons. Now, we know from 1 Corinthians 11, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth there, and he's talking to them about matters related to the Lord's Supper. Many of you know these verses. We've covered these verses many times already. But 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. In this way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So it's important that we're there. We cannot possibly sit in remembrance in that manner, proclaiming the Lord's death in that manner, if we are absent from the sacrament. And to be absent from the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is to functionally starve oneself. And let's not do that. As Christians, we need that meal. Christ gave it to us, and we must remind ourselves of the importance of being at it. It goes on to say also that there may be times when we find no benefit, that it just seemed dry. It could be just the season of life. There could be many different reasons. We are creatures of dust. We are not only rational beings, we're also emotional beings as well. And we do have days where things seem harder than others. I can tell you candidly, there are times when I'm praying that it feels like I'm pulling teeth. There are times when I'm preaching where it feels like I'm pulling teeth. And it just seems laborious and difficult. It may be no fault of my own. It may be, but the fact remains that there are times and seasons like that. But if we find no present benefit, we are to more exactly to review their preparation too. Now, we covered the issues related to preparation all the way back in question number 171. How are they that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to prepare themselves before they come unto it? And so we begin, if we find no benefit, we begin here. Did we faithfully prepare our minds and our hearts for the sacrament? And if we don't know how to do that, we need to go back and review question 171 of the Larger Catechism. It gives us wonderful pastoral guidance and advice as to how one might do that. I suspect, frankly, and to be perfectly honest, and I've done this, of course, we've all done this, that we find very little benefit in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper during our times of worship, because we have spent very little time thinking about it during the week. We have spent very little time on Saturday evening preparing our minds and our hearts for it. And then, of course, because we don't make that preparation, we find no benefit. We do prepare to do many things in life, and many things that are good and important, but this is vital. And so we must prepare. So we review, we think, okay, well, I didn't find very much benefit from the sacrament today. And that could be due to a number of reasons. The first one given to us by the answer is to review their preparation, to review our preparation for the meal. Now, in Ecclesiastes 5, it's the text in which we're reminded about our vows. It's a proof text used by the assembly to cover this area of the answer. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, I'm just going to read the whole passage. "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifices of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? And so here we're talking about vows, and you might think, well, how does this relate to the Lord's Supper? Well, it relates because when you participate at the meal, you are making a public statement, a public vow before God and his people about that you are his, you belong to him, and you will live faithfully before him. Much of this is born out of a lack, therefore, a lack of benefit oftentimes at the sacrament and all that it reminds us of. It reminds us of this vow that we took as Christians and we just took as we participated at the Lord's Supper is born out of a lack of diligent preparation before the meal. Now, I don't know if I did this before. It's been a few days since we covered questions 171, but let me just offer maybe a few practical suggestions as to how one might prepare. First, you can prepare by reflecting on the various passages in which the Lord's Supper is discussed in the Bible, and then meditate upon those verses. Reflect deeply upon its importance into your own life. You can reflect on the bread and what it all means and the sufferings of Christ and the spilling of his blood for the remission of sin. You can reflect about how it gives us hope and comfort in the promise that Christ is going to return and bring us to where he is. You can reflect in preparation upon any known sin and deal with that sin and plead God's grace and forgiveness and in those areas. So those are just some ways in which we can do it. There are many different resources that I can suggest to you that would help us help you in this. Many different books. Feeding on Christ, I believe, is a very helpful resource written by Joel Beakey about the Lord's Supper. It's meditations on the Lord's Supper, which would help one prepare for the meal. But however you do it, do so diligently. You know it's coming. It's announced ahead of time. You know that if you do it weekly, it's every week. If you do it monthly, you know generally when it's going to be, and you're told. And so make every effort. If we don't see benefits from the sacrament, then we must prepare for it. And so if we find that we have little, then we review this. And then we seek to make some adjustments and changes in our lives. Families, you can, Saturday evening, you can, fathers, you can lead your children and your wife in these matters and help them to reflect upon these things. Well, these are just some of the things that we are to do after we participate in the Lord's Supper. And I trust that these are helpful for you. I pray that these times together will be useful in the Lord's hands to encourage you in your walk with Christ. If you have any questions, you can contact me. The way to do that is there before you on the screen. And so until the Thursday edition, when we continue looking at this question and answer from the larger catechism, may the Lord bless you today, and may you serve him. God bless.